and gospel on this December the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2016. I want to make a couple of announcements. The first one is if you are willing to help us out, we're about $4,000 short this year, paying KFUO for being on the radio. You can either listen to the item at the end of our program, but if you want to get a tax deferred, in other words, you get a tax deduction for giving to Law and Gospel, then phone this number long distance. Leave your phone number. We'll get back to you. 877-267-1962. We'll give that out at the end again. Well, today is a Thursday, Rumination Thursday. We received a number of emails about the two folks that I have on each week, Pastor Mark Smith and Wes Reimnitz. And maybe I should have said this privately to Wes, but I have to tell him right now that in light of the emails, this will be the final time that he's on Law and Gospel on Thursdays for this year.
You're good, Tom. I got to tell you.
Oh, I'm good? Yeah, yeah, all the emails want you back. So
well, I'm glad somebody wants me.
Yeah, should I have said that to you privately? I knew I'd get you that one.
I know. I hear from quite a few of our listeners here in central Illinois and all the way over to the Quincy area, all the way over to the Indiana border. I mean, it's quite humbling to hear how they love to listen to Law and Gospel, and they listen to us on Thursdays.
Yes. So, unfortunately, you're going to be back next year.
I thought, oh boy, what'd they do now?
Yes. No, the problem is some of them like you better than me.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, my wife sent in 4 emails.
Oh.
She prefers you. All right.
Well, my wife enjoys listening to you.
Oh, good. Not you, eh? We got the same kind of wives.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, today we've got our work really set up for us pretty nice, because this issue of the Lutheran Witness, which just so happens to be the primary publication of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has some fascinating articles in it. The front cover, it's Mary Misconceptions, Answering Christmas Questions About the Day Jesus Was Born, Santa, St. Nicholas, The Birth of Our Lord, Does Hollywood Get Angels Right, Is Saying Happy Holidays Less Christian, and a whole bunch of them. So you and I decided, since the majority of our listeners, if not more, do not get the Lutheran Witness, we should take a look at some of these. And I just want to make a note that for $19.99 a year, you can have the Lutheran Witness, it comes out monthly, delivered to your home by mail, simply by calling 800-325-3040, and we start with option number 2. In other words, when they're asking, hit option 2. I'll repeat that once more. 800-325-3040, option 2. Now, taking a look at these, which one do you think we should start talking about first?
Well, like I told you the other day, I like the one on Santa and St. Nicholas.
Oh, aren't they the same person? Didn't St. Nicholas have reindeers and no?
Not quite. Actually, St. Nicholas was a bishop, Bishop Nicholas.
Where?
Today it would be called Turkey, but...
Oh, really?
The country of Turkey, but it was a seacoast town of Myra where he was bishop. What's interesting about him, I mean, as you read the article, it was... The stories are of how he was generous and he helped out families, poor families, orphans, things of that nature, was known for his generosity, which later developed in Europe and America into St. Nicholas and then finally Santa Claus. But it was listening to you yesterday, you didn't quite finish making the connections, but you were close. He was a contemporary of Athanasius.
That was around, what, 320s?
325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea.
Oh.
He would have been at the Council of Nicaea when the Nicene Creed was adopted, and Athanasius was the secretary of the council at Nicaea.
Oh. That was where we got the Nicene Creed?
Right. That's where we got the Nicene Creed.
Okay.
The council was formed because the bishop of Alexandria, which was Alexandria, which was Alexander himself, and his secretary or sub, so to speak, underneath him was Athanasius. They were having problems with this guy called Arius.
Yes. Well, what we want to do is talk a little bit more about St. Nicholas.
Right.
It was the hymn, "'Twas the Night before Christmas. Christmas." How did that connect St. Nicholas to Santa Claus?
Well, that's where St. Nicholas, you know, as the article points out, he became Santa.
Instead of Saint.
Instead of Saint, yeah.
And Claus from Nicholas.
Right, Nicholas to Claus.
Oh, wow.
Was Swish. You know, it was interesting. I mean, the article didn't bring it out, but historically, this whole idea of gift-giving, so to speak, by St. Nicholas, one article I read dated it back to the 11th century in France on December 6th. December 6th is the date that Nicholas had passed away. And it became celebrated in Europe as the day of St. Nicholas, not Christmas Day, but St. Nicholas Day on December 6th was the gift-giving. By the time of Luther kind of moved the gift-giving to Christmas Day, but didn't connect it with St. Nicholas.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's... But by the time you get to America and you get to the poem, it switches over to Santa Claus, and he's the one that brings the gifts.
Wow.
So, you know, and it's interesting. You know, I don't know if you saw that article where this guy was shouting at families in line at waiting to see Santa that Santa Claus wasn't real.
You know? No. I sat on his lap yesterday, and I asked for more White Castles.
And afterwards, they had to take him to the hospital.
No, I went, we had the parochial school and the confirmation class. I got two envelopes, and they had White Castle coupons in them. So, boy, I like Santa Claus.
You like Santa Claus. But, you know, it creates a little bit of tension there, you know, people.
Sure.
Should we shout out at in a mall that Santa Claus isn't real? Or
well, there's this young girl, and it's she lives near St. Paul de Pere here in St. Louis, and she sang a song. She's going through a shopping center, and she sees all the Santa Clauses, and then one of the little boys comes up to her, and he says, "Where's the place to see Jesus?"
Oh,
it is really good. And so the whole song is, you know, where is Jesus? And then she finally goes to a creche where you got Joseph and Mary. And in fact, the Joseph and Mary nativity scene looks a lot like the one at Trinity Orchard Farm. I want to take a closer look at that, but that was kind of interesting. And I'm sure there's similar scenes like that. But right. part of the problem with St. Nicholas and the 'twas the night before Christmas is it changed the culture's understanding of Christmas, making it more about gifts than the birth of a Savior.
That's right. Very much so. It kind of reminds me of the time when my son was 5 years old. He and I had stopped at a day-old bread store to pick up some bakery items that my wife had wanted us to get. And we went through the checkout. The lady looks at my son and says, "Are you ready for Santa Claus to come?"
Oh, boy. Yes.
And he refused to answer her.
Yes.
And then it dawned on me. I looked at him and I said, "You can tell her she knows the truth."
Yes.
And he goes, "Ma'am, don't you know that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, and I really get my gifts from Mom and Dad?"
Wasn't your son the one who wrote, "I saw Santa Claus kissing Mommy that night"? Yeah, I think so. So yeah, right. He knew Santa Claus, who he was. Well, aren't these wonderful hymns we're listening to? Yeah, they're all about loving one another, giving gifts. Now, it is appropriate to give gifts, especially to the needy, but not because we want to make a name for ourselves, but out of the many benefits that God has given to us.
Right. And it's a reminder that the gift giving is really a reminder of the best gift of all that was given to us, and that is Christ's birth and Christ coming into the world for our forgiveness.
The article I found interesting was, why was December the 25th chosen? Some people disagree with that because shepherds weren't in the fields in the winter. But the problem with that is if you go there, shepherds still graze their sheep out in the fields, even in the winter. Another idea was that they borrowed from a pagan festival, but there's no basis of that in history. No historian mentions it, but the third was made by Irenaeus. Now, he was in the middle of the second century. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
Well, him I don't know a whole lot about, but yeah, he was considered one of the first, what we call early church fathers.
Yes, yes. And he thought that the date of his death and conception were on the same day, March the 25th. And therefore, he counted 9 months later and came up with December 25th.
That's an interesting theory.
And we all know Dr. Gene Veith. He's right. An excellent theologian in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He argues for the date of December the 25th based on Zechariah's temple service from Luke 1 verse 5 and 1 Chronicles 24, 1 to 10. We don't want to get into the details, but people can look those up, and that's how he argues it. But I was even under the impression we were borrowing from some pagan festival, but that doesn't seem to be correct, that it was really Irenaeus who lived, middle of the second century, came up with March 25th.
And right. I think you're correct, because that's what we were taught in our seminaries, but this article talks about more recent research.
Yes. Yeah, March the 25th, you know, it's always during Lent, and it rarely falls on a Sunday, but one Wednesday in Lent, it followed on that Wednesday, and I began the Lenten service singing, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And nobody knew why I was singing it. And, the whole, congregation. And then in the sermon, I mentioned that this was the time that Gabriel announced to Mary that she was to be pregnant with the child. And that was March 25th. So we don't get much of an opportunity during Lent to celebrate it, but I did that time. What's another article that you looked at that you think would be helpful?
Well, wasn't there one on the angels?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That one there, does Hollywood get the angels right? That was on page 14. Yeah, these are all written by pastors and such. And what it does, it talks about, the famous movie Angel, It's a Wonderful Life, and other things. But do the Hollywood angels really agree with how the Bible describes them? And the answer is not quite. They don't all look like regular human beings. Some do, but most would have a hard time getting a drink at the bar with George, it says.
Right, yeah. Well, and Hollywood style is somebody comes back from Earth that's made it to heaven, and they're somehow an angel, or they got to get their angel wings by doing some kind of good deed.
So,
which is work righteous.
Yes, yes. I think a lot of the angels, you try and get deals with them and such. It is true that we all have a guardian angel.
Right.
I mentioned that in confirmation class this last week. And then I also said, and by the way, the air is filled also with demons. And so one of the girls said, will my guardian angel protect me from the demons? And I said, yes, because the guardian angel listens to Jesus, and one little word can fell him. So it's kind of good to know that we have a guardian angel.
That's the big difference when you talk about it in terms of word and sacrament, not just, you know, it's only the word that we need, but also the sacraments and where are these things found. But, you know, we see it on a Sunday morning in church, or, you know, this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, where we celebrate the birth of Christ.
Now, when I was growing up, I was just under the impression that when we die, we become like angels with wings. And I was looking forward to drag racing other people. But that's not true. There's no indication. In fact, very rarely do angels have wings in the Bible. And when they do, like in Isaiah 6, they got six of them.
Yeah.
So that was interesting for me. That we talk about our little ones as angels in heaven, but they are still just in the spirit, because their bodies don't return to them until after Judgment Day. But we're not going to be like angels, because we're going to have a body also.
Right. We are just a distinctive part of creation, just as angels are. And there's no indication in the Bible anywhere that there's a mixing of the two.
Yeah, I know. Another article that I was very interested in is Merry Christmas Better Than Happy Holidays. That one's on page 17. And they talk about when Starbucks released a plain red cup for their coffee. A lot of Christians were in an uproar because it didn't have Merry Christmas on it or Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. You know, that whole thing of Happy Holidays has gone back into the 1950s and 1960s in America, been kind of pushed that way. I kind of remember it because one time one of my cousins looked at Grandma and said, Happy Holidays, and she just had a fit.
Yes, I like, if you go through a store, Target used to have that policy. They say Happy Holiday, and I said, you mean Merry Christmas, don't you? And then they would look around to see if anybody was watching them, because they were afraid to say it. And I can understand that Target has a lot of customers that aren't Christian, you know. But there was a person who didn't believe in God on the 5 yesterday. He's quite a character. He says, I don't have any problem saying Merry Christmas. I just don't mean what many Christians mean by it. But it is kind of, to me, a way of just talking about the happy holidays. And I tell you, since President-to-be Trump had that talk with 6 Christmas trees behind him and a lectern in front of him with Merry Christmas on it, I haven't heard like before. There are many, many talk shows and now even television that they conclude their program with Merry Christmas.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to witness what does it mean to say Merry Christmas.
Yes. And so even if someone doesn't say it to you, like they'll say happy holidays, you can still respond back to them with Merry Christmas.
Yeah. No, it's happened to me too, not only in Target, but other stores where they'll say happy holidays. And I said, no, we say Merry Christmas.
In Illinois, do your, like, capitals or where you have the police station or the courts or anything, do any of them have a crib and Joseph and Mary there anymore?
Well, they would probably in some of the more rural areas. You might see it. I haven't seen it out in our state capital here in Springfield.
Yes. Yeah, I can understand not taking public taxes to put that up. I know one park did that, and then right beside it, the atheists put up their thing.
Right. However, I do see in many of the Christian churches' lawns, they'll have nativity sets, and then, you know, just a mile down, we have Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and back about the 9th and 10th of December, they had a live nativity set that they did for two nights.
Where are you going for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? You preaching anywhere?
Oh, yeah. Well, Christmas, we celebrated family this last weekend, so because I'm up at Trinity Manitou Christmas
Yes.
Eve, we're doing 4 o'clock service for the older folks so that they could still come out.
Oh, yeah, right. Life.
And then Sunday is Christmas Day service at 9 a.m. with Holy Communion.
Yeah, at Trinity Orchard Farm, we have 2 services, Saturday evening, 6:30 and 11. They're identical, except for the early service is with instruments and the late service is with choir. And then we also, on Sunday, have 1 service at 9 a.m., Trinity Orchard Farm out there on Highway 94. I want to give out the number once more. If you would like to give a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, we can explain to you what you write on the check. It's different than Law and Gospel and who you mail it to. It's 1-877-267-1962. And we're pretty close to reaching. We're short about $4,000. And so we're looking forward to that. Remember, whatever you send to Law and Gospel does end up going to KFUO. So it is for the radio station. And when we get back in January, we won't be back at KFUO all next week. We're off our regular programming. They'll have music or maybe past programs. And even the Monday after New Year's Day, we're off. So we're not back till Tuesday. And that'll be with Mark Smith on the hymn for the following Sunday, Wednesday, Insight Wednesday. And then Thursday, unfortunately, because of all the emails, Wes Rhymness will be back with us.
Well, I'm very grateful for all that support.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how many came from your home address.
I thought I mashed it a little bit.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. You know, we can go back to the original computer, and the only one against you from your home address, of course, was your wife. But
wife, oh, okay.
So we can say Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas is great. And how much I enjoy doing this with you. As you know, we go back to our days when I was at Havana.
Yes.
And I had you come up and help us set up our radio ministry, which we already had ongoing, but how could we further outreach? And it's
right.
Such a blessing.
Well, the reason I like you on is there's not much work for Mark Smith. It's always whatever is a selected hymn, but you often find materials for us, and that takes a little bit off my shoulders. And fortunately, the Lutheran Witness, and I'll give out the number once more if you'd like to get it for $19.99 a year, you phone 1-800-325-3040 and then click option 2 when they ask you. It's a year subscription to the Lutheran Witness. Well, thanks so much, Pastor Reimnitz, and a Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you and to all our listeners.
Back on January 3rd. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.